Hello and welcome to The Life of an Entrepreneur. I'm Jan McCarthy with Entrepreneurial Voice, and I am here to talk to you and broadcast live from SkidRowStudios.com in downtown Los Angeles. And we're live on the radio, on the internet. We're real radio, and we're live, and we're on the internet of every Tuesday at 11 o'clock a.m. And I am very, very excited to be talking to our guest today. Her name is Jo Abbey, and we're going to get to know Jo in just a little bit. But we're here to talk about what the life of an entrepreneur is like. And if you all have any questions and want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. And that number is 1-800-893-9562. And so feel free to call in and chat with us. So welcome, Jo. I'm so excited that you're here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Why don't you come up a little closer Yeah, there we are. And so everybody can hear you.
Cool.
And Jo is a lifestyle writer, and I'm very anxious to find out about her story and how she got started and what she does, what that means, a lifestyle writer. And so where are you from?
I'm originally from Australia, but I've lived in California for almost 10 years now. So
when you were starting out, did you always know that you were going to be a writer?
I kind of did, yes. Yeah, I wasn't sure what... I thought I wanted to be a journalist, but I found out very quickly that wasn't for me.
So were you always writing stories? Were you when
yes.
you were growing up? And
yeah.
And did people say when you go to school you should study journalism?
Yes, I was. Yeah, ever since I was really little, I remember it was very embarrassing. I got my teacher liked something I'd written so much, and this is like in the fourth grade or something. She read it out to her seventh grade students and said, "This is better than anything you guys are doing," and that was mortifying for me. But yeah, I've always written and. Yeah.
Do you think that was a kind of a pivotal point? And this is just kind of occurring to me as we're talking, but when you think about that, even though it was mortifying, there was probably something incredibly satisfying about it and maybe started you on that path of, you know, sometimes we do things and someone can say, you know, you'll never make it, and what makes you think you're a writer or this is terrible or whatever, and all of a sudden you're crushed and... You never go forward with that. Or someone can recognize a talent within you that you don't necessarily know that you have, and that kind of starts you on a path.
Yeah, I think that probably did. It was very memorable, you know, even though I was quite young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it likely did.
Now, were you in terms of writing, right now you've defined yourself as a lifestyle writer, but... when you were you writing short stories? Were you thinking, oh, one day I'm going to write a great novel, or one day I'm going to write for the newspaper or the magazines? Or how were you thinking about your writing?
I think it was a bit of everything. I think I wrote stories when I was, you know, quite young. And then sort of, I guess my parents steered me towards something a bit more practical, like writing for newspapers and magazines,
okay.
which I did for quite a long time.
And so did you go, you actually went to school for journalism?
I did, yeah. I studied more broadly. I studied media, which was sort of, you know, you get to do a bit of film study and it was, you know, really enjoyable. I worked on the student paper and things like that. But then I wasn't sort of ready to graduate. So I did an extra, like a graduate. I went to grad school just for 1 year and focused more on journalism just to sort of make myself more attractive to... Or more employable, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I went for one semester on an exchange program where I studied at the University of Missouri because I had a very good journalism school at the time.
Did you go to school in Australia then or here?
No, 90% of it was in Australia. I just did my final semester over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And was that your first trip over here?
It was, yeah. Yeah. I was 21, I think, and I went to LA and
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing like jumping right into the jungle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know anyone here?
I didn't know. I was traveling with another girl who was also in the same exchange program. So I had a fellow Aussie, but she was, I just met her.
So you came over here and went to a year of school. And then did you go back to Australia to get a job? And
I went back to Australia via London. Because that's what we Australians do, I guess. We can get a work permit to to live and work in London for 3 years, I think it was.
Oh, and so did you do that?
I didn't stay that long in the end. I stayed, it was January and I didn't like London. It was too
cold,
cold and dark. So I only stayed for a few months, you know, and hung out with friends who were living there and worked in bars and didn't really ever try very hard to get a proper job because I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to travel and do that.
So were you thinking about, while you were traveling and just kind of hanging out, kind of defining what you wanted to write about? So just trying to understand your journey.
Yeah.
So you went back, eventually, back to Australia, and you got your first job there?
Yes, I got, what was my first? I worked about three different jobs. So I worked at, there was sort of a street press type magazine that had just started up. It was a bit like, what would be it, like LA Weekly kind of thing.
Okay.
Very sort of film and arts and music and food and a bit of everything. So I worked as the arts editor of that magazine, but that was sort of part-time. So it was like any writer, I worked in a secondhand bookshop a few days a week. I did that. And then I got a job at a magazine called Homes and Living as sort of the assistant to the editor. And it was a very, you know, like Elle Decor kind of magazine. Yeah, so that was really fun.
That must have been very excited. So you were like, yes, I'm a writer.
Yeah, and I was a bit of an architecture geek. A lot of my friends at the time were studying architecture, so it was a good fit for me. Yeah.
Great.
That was, I mean, I had no skill ever as an architect, but I was interested in it. So, yeah, that was a really fun job, actually. I worked there for a couple of years.
And so while you were doing that, you were working for someone else. And
yes.
Now you're independent. But so what was the next step? So you were doing this, and what made you decide to leave, to actually land in the United States and all of that?
I think I initially left Perth. I'm from Perth on the west coast of Australia. And I initially left Perth and moved to Sydney because Sydney is sort of like the New York of publishing.
Okay.
It's where all the magazines are based. It's where all the publishing houses are. And I had worked, there's only one newspaper in Western Australia. And there's, there's two. There's a Sunday paper and a Monday to Saturday paper. But I'd written for them and I'd written for a couple of different of these sort of street press magazines. And a couple of friends from my college friends who are photographers and writers, we did a little sort of magazine ourselves. But there was nothing big, you know, there was nothing. It was very early in my career. I'd kind of done everything I could do in Perth. I moved to Sydney for a couple of years and I worked. You sort of take what you can get in Sydney, but I took a job at a very nice publishing house. They published a lot of beautiful art books and magazines, but the moneymaker was a bridal magazine. So I worked on that for about a year and a half, 2 years. And that wasn't my most fun job.
Did you have to deal with a lot of bridezillas?
Oh, yeah. And the designers of the dresses and, the, you know, the photographers and, yeah, it was...
So sometimes it's really important to find out what we don't like.
Yeah, I think myself...
In order to go forward.
Yeah, myself and my two predecessors and, no, my predecessor, myself, and then the girl who replaced me, we all sort of were in the same circle and knew each other quite well. All three of us eloped and didn't have a wedding. I think we were just, I've had enough. I don't want to be that person dealing with dresses and flowers. And yeah, I thought that was amusing.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Whether by design or not, right? It just kind of happened that
way. Yeah, we all did the quick cookie weddings at City Hall.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting how that can shape that. Mm-hmm. What did you like best about the writing that you were doing?
At the bridal magazine or
at
just
any,
in general?
At any of the different places, whether it was the journalism or whether it was at the bridal magazine or whatever, when you'd always wanted to do it, you're continuing to do it. What is it that draws you to the writing?
That's a really good question. I'm not really sure. It's something that I've just always sort of naturally done. And there is some sort of ego element, I suppose. It is nice to have your name on the page, like to see your byline and go, oh, I wrote that.
Yeah.
And someone else thinks it's good enough to be printed. And, you know, I think this was sort of, I'm aging myself up now, but this was before blogs were big and, you know, so it was more difficult to get your name out there and get, you know, your writing seen by people. So that, I think that's quite rewarding is the wrong word, but it's quite, you know, fulfilling to have
people.
I guess it's approval, isn't it, from someone whose job it is to say whether you can write or not, which is all very subjective.
But. Yeah, but it's also really amazing because you can change the way someone feels about something or inspire someone to do something, you know, even whether it was to help them decide that they wanted to have this particular dress or or whether they want to go to this particular place or whether this home, you bring it alive. A writer always brings it alive in some way or another, hopefully, and to be able to have that that ability is really quite swell.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it in terms of inspiring people, but I guess that's true. Yeah. I was a film critic for a while.
Oh, I always thought that would be really interesting.
It was. I loved it at the time, and I was sort of young and opinionated, so I read them now and I cringe, but it got a bit tiresome. Like, it's a horrible thing to complain about, but I had to go see about 3 movies a week.
Oh.
And, you know, you have to see everything.
Yeah, when you have to.
And it became like, oh, what, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting to put that kind of spin on it, because I don't know that we necessarily think about, you know, it's kind of like a restaurant critic.
Yeah, right.
You know, you get tired of going out after a while, as hard as it is to believe. I actually knew someone who did that.
Really?
She said, it is actually really hard to find people to keep going out to dinner with you, because you can't just go by yourself. You need other people to go with you, really, to get different opinions and
try more dishes. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So I can see where the movie thing was, could be a bit overwhelming as well.
A little bit. Yeah. I've done food writing too, and yeah, it is. You get all this food for free, and then you feel terrible having to critique it, you know, because you know how hard chefs work. Well, I've seen how hard chefs work.
Yeah. So you're working with this bridal magazine. You decide, I'm going to leave. What was your next step?
I'm not much of a planner, unfortunately. I'm fairly impulsive. So that job, I actually left that job to do a 3-month stint. I had a friend, not really a friend, more of a colleague, and she was from Perth as well, but she was running a very small boutique PR firm, public relations firm in Sydney, and she had a lot of clients that were, like, Aveda was a client, and then there was a cosmetics company called Becca Cosmetics, which is quite small, but she had a few, and she needed a writer. She needed someone to write press releases and backgrounders and that kind of thing, and she had good account execs, but she didn't have anyone who was a really good writer, and she was having a baby and sort of needed 3 months off. So I said, well, I can step in and be your writer, go-to writer person for 3 months. So I did that, but I didn't like public relations very much. I was too honest. And I'm so used to being the journalist, you know,
right,
asking for the samples or, you know, what's the angle. So it's an easy transition for journalists to go into PR. I can see why a lot of people do it, but it just wasn't, yeah, I don't have the right personality, I guess. I wasn't very good at it.
Well, I think that's something that would-be entrepreneurs really can take a lot from, is try on a lot of different things, especially when you're able to see what fits, what feels good, what doesn't, and so you're not kind of always wondering. So I think it's really awesome that you had the opportunity to dip your toe in all of these different venues, all under that umbrella of writing, to really see where you could shine best and what made you feel good about what it is that you were writing. So did you stay in Australia after doing the PR stint, and what brought you to the United States to stay and start writing here?
My impulsive nature. I came on a trip for a month and I didn't leave.
And was that to LA?
No, that was to San Francisco.
Well,
so
cool enough.
Yeah, I love it up there. I love to visit, but I prefer LA actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big
weather-wise, it's much more like home.
I'm a big fan of LA too.
Yeah.
love to go to San Francisco, but love staying in LA. So, went on a trip, and I love that, and I think it's a really great quality to have, being a little bit impulsive at times. It shows that you're a risk taker, and that's an important quality for an entrepreneur.
Indeed.
So when you got to LA, Did you have a job waiting for you? Did you?
No, I was between, because I just finished that 3-month stint. So I thought, oh, I can go on holiday for a month and then figure out my next sort of move. And then I ended up, and I have this vivid memory. It was about 2 days before I was due to fly to San Francisco, and it was pouring rain in Sydney. And when it rains in Sydney, it was like this terrible thunderstorm. And I was packing up and getting ready to go, and I walked down the road to get Thai takeout or something, and I ran into this mutual friend who I didn't know very well, and she said, I've just started, and she'd been a freelance writer for a long time, and I'd been meaning to sort of have coffee with her and just quiz her a bit about, anyway, she said, oh, I've just landed a job as the features editor at Vogue Australia, so shoot me an email and let's get in touch. And I said, oh, I'm just going to California for a month, but I'll be in touch. So when I landed here and decided to stay, I got in touch with her, and she started. So I started writing for Vogue Australia from America, which I thought was funny.
That really is. And interesting how sometimes those chance meetings can happen.
Yeah.
This is an important thing to note as well, is that chance meeting happened and you could have just let it go. You could have just said when you were in the United States, well, oh gosh, you know, I'm here now, so that wouldn't really work, and talk yourself out of it. So the fact that you took action, you followed up, you followed through, were really important things that led to, you know, you having something from here, but doing something and now being on your own. So you worked, I assume you worked as an independent consultant?
I just freelanced for them, but it was, magazines were a bit healthier back then. This was 2004, almost 10 years ago.
And that's about, is that about when the movement of blogs started?
Yeah, because I started writing for a few websites when I first got to San Fran. I wrote for Daily Candy, San Francisco.
Right.
But they paid so terribly. I think they paid $25 for a post. Whereas magazines like Vogue I write for some travel magazines as well. They pay by the word. So it was much more lucrative to do that. And I was in a unique position that because I was in California, I sort of had access to, you know, different things. And, you know, Australia is a very small place and we're very isolated, but we tend to respect people more when they've had success somewhere else. It's really interesting. But, yeah, so I think I was more attractive to editors because I wasn't in Sydney, because there's a lot of people who freelance write in Sydney, but because I was over here in the States, I think that helped.
You were able to have a different perspective.
Yeah, and I got quite a few stories just because of being over here. Like I would get sent to fragrance launches in New York, and I got sent to Palm Springs one time.
And things like that. So
yeah.
So effectively, you became on your own, you know, kind of an accidental entrepreneur in a way, right?
An accidental entrepreneur. That's me, definitely, yeah.
So not really necessarily thinking about versus having a job specifically where you showed up and wrote for them every day, like for a newspaper or for a magazine that you were employed by them, but being able to freelance. Was that a little scary?
It was a little bit, yeah. But I don't know, I'd had some bad experiences with editors previously and I thought I don't want to rely, not editors, but publishers really, like the owners of the publications. And I remember saying to my father or my partner at the time, I remember saying, like, I don't want to be reliant on someone else for my income anymore. And if I work for a specific magazine, I'm in their hands. You know, if advertising sales go down, I could be out the door. Like, I have no control. Whereas as a freelancer, it is a bit more risky and there's less security, but I felt safer. Because I was the one, you know, if I needed more money, I would
in control.
Do more work.
Yeah.
And I still feel that way. I've got, every now and then my parents sort of pressure me to get a normal job. And I said to my dad, in this economy, I'm safer doing what I'm doing, I think.
Yeah, you're building your reputation. You're able to, like you said, take on more jobs, take on less jobs. You're not at the mercy of someone else. And we've talked about that on the show many times about the fact that there really is no job security because they could let you go tomorrow. And especially, you've seen so many changes since you really got involved in this in 2004 to within this 10-year span.
Yeah.
Magazines absolutely are not what magazines were. And with blogging coming on, that's a huge thing, and all the websites and all of those different things. How do you go about finding clients?
I was thinking about this because I had a feeling you were going to ask. I'm not very good at it. It's something I need to improve on, I suppose. But I tend to find clients through word of mouth, like people that I write. I blog for people, or I ghost blog.
Well, it's such a personal thing, I would think. So if I wanted somebody to blog for me or whatever, I wouldn't just look them up in a directory.
No.
Somewhere. I would start researching. I would love it if they came to me via a recommendation and then research what it is that they wrote.
Yeah, it was funny. One of my more interesting jobs over the years, I got sent to this cosmetic launch in Palm Springs, and he's this Australian, he's sort of the Bobby Brown of Australia. His name's Napoleon Perdie, and he's got a beautiful line of cosmetics, but he did a line for Target. You know how they approach designers? He did that. And anyway, launched it in Palm Springs, and all these girls from Australia flew out. But my editor had to go to a wedding in Bali or something, and she couldn't go, so she sent me down from San Fran. And he liked what I wrote so much, and he liked my attitude so much, that I ended up ghostwriting a book for him about 6 months later. They contacted me and said, we really liked you and we would like you to write our book. So, it was ghostwritten, but not, obviously I can talk about it, so it wasn't full ghost. But yeah, that was really amazing. And that was just because I'd covered his launch for Vogue Australia.
Yeah. Wow, how one opportunity just leads to another, right?
Yeah, and that was really fun. It was a short deadline, so it was pretty hectic writing a whole book in 2 months, I think.
Well, I think what's interesting, I mean, being a freelance writer, you can pick and choose. Mm-hmm. And you can also create your own opportunities. And obviously, you've created kind of a reputation for yourself and a niche kind of market in terms of the lifestyle items, whether it's furniture, home, or design, or beauty, or fashion, you know, all of those kind of things. I'm probably missing a couple of topics here, but categories. or travel or whatever.
Travel's actually my favorite thing to write about.
I can imagine. Yeah. That would probably be mine.
A dream. Yeah, it's the
better
job,
design.
And
of course, entrepreneurship, that goes without saying.
Of course.
But what I always think is interesting is I'm always impressed, like you and I have wanted to do things from time to time, and you'll say, I'm on deadline and I can't do that. How do you how do you motivate yourself? Do you have I've heard about writers and I've had a few on the show, different kind of writers, but that have written books and such, but do you say get up every morning at a certain time and write for 3 hours and turn off your phones and all of that, or how do you keep that organized? How do you motivate yourself? I've asked you about 5 questions.
I don't have a really good, when I'm working on a big project, I'm more like the typical writer who gets up at a set time and writes. I tend to write the best in the morning. I'm the most efficient in the morning. I suppose most people are. I'm not
and
sure.
And creative, maybe? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I think
I'm not.
I'm more creative late at night, and I have my best ideas in the shower. But I think that's pretty common too.
I wrote a blog about that.
Yeah, I think. I tend to have a pretty basic schedule that I stick to. But
so what is it?
I mean, I get up. I make coffee. I have a shower. I check my email. I probably spend too long on email and Facebook most days, but I'm trying to get away from that. But I tend to do chunk of writing between sort of 8:30 and 12:30. And then I usually have lunch or go to lunch. I tend to do lunch meetings sometimes just to force myself out of the house. Otherwise, become a shut-in.
So do you work out of the home or do you have an office?
I have a loft with an office in it, but it's essentially one big room. So yeah, home office.
So a lot of entrepreneurs find that difficult. They get distracted and so you must have quite quite a bit of willpower to say, okay, I'm going to write between these hours and kind of stay focused on that.
Yeah, I guess I've done it over the years quite a bit. So I think I just developed a good work ethic for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I actually work better at home by myself than I had a job for a while. When I first moved to LA, I took a job, an in-house copywriting job. And it was typical office, you know, your cubicle wall is sort of not very high and it's open plan. And it was quite, like, I wasn't used to that. I was used to working at home, writing for Vogue and stuff. So that was a real challenge. But now I can work anywhere. I can work in a noisy cafe. I can work at home. Like, I'm pretty easy going in terms of, you know, environment. But that probably taught me to be able to work in a noisy, yeah.
Well, that's a great quality to have, to be able to do that, because mm-hmm. some people are very, very specific. You know, they have to have things arranged just so, or they have to have like a certain place or corner or environment in order for them to create. Because, I mean, basically when you're writing, you're definitely creating. And do you sometimes find the writer's block, and what do you do to get over that? Or
I do get it. So sometimes I don't get blocked really badly. I do if it's something very personal to me, like, you know, if I'm writing a short story or I have a novel that I've been, yeah, it's just been sitting in my Google Docs for about 5 years. I really need to revisit that. But if it's for a client or something, sometimes it's just something I don't want to write, but it's not really writer's block. That's just me being a brat.
So how do you get over that?
What do I do? I usually go for a walk if I'm having a real issue, or if I'll just read something I really love, like read my favorite blog or something like that, just to sort of get inspired. And then that usually works. Depends how much time I have. If I'm on a tight deadline, I have a couple
just
of blogs that I love, and I just, you know, read that, and that'll sort of refresh me a bit.
And I think that's so important to note, because we all have maybe clients or projects or things that it's just... We don't want to deal with it. And so how to get around it and how to get re-inspired or motivated to finish or look at it in it from a different perspective or change our attitude or whatever it is. And I think that's really great tips, information to say, go out, take a walk, read somebody else's, read something that inspires you and kind of gets your juices moving. And then we even talked about last night in a meeting of just doing something creative and can kind of get you out of that funk too. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs experience that, you know? So it's good to discuss it and see how other people are doing it. So we don't feel like, gosh, I'm the only one, right?
Yeah. And there's some things that are just not as fun to do, you know?
Always.
You know what I'm really bad at? And this is a terrible thing for self-employed entrepreneur to be. I'm terrible at invoicing. I hate it because it's hours and numbers and
sure.
And I put it off and then I'm like, where's all my money?
Yeah.
And it's my own fault because I haven't invoiced that client for a week or a month or.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I maybe need to find a better system for that.
Well, I think everybody should. And I think especially as an artist, as a creative, which you are, and I don't know if that's the left brain or the right brain or what that is. And also, you know, quite honestly, as a female, sometimes we have a hard time just asking for money. And so sending that invoice is, you know, I think there's that little voice inside her head that says, well, what if they don't pay it? Or what if they didn't value what I did? Or what if, you know, right? So I think it is important to find a system that works for you, and that could be working with an invoicing company or working, you know, kind of taking it out of your hands specifically and recognizing, and quite often I tell entrepreneurs, you know, recognizing what you really don't do well or really are adverse to. And when we have things like that, you probably spend a lot of time kind of moving the papers around and looking at it and saying, oh, okay, well, I'm going to send that, you know, tomorrow at 9 o'clock or whatever. And and then just not quite getting around to it or trying to add up the hours or whatever the time is worth, you know, whether it's by word or add up the words.
Yeah.
add up the
computer does that for me, thank gosh.
Add up the post, yeah, remember the days of old. All of that kind of thing. So we actually spend a lot of time kind of pushing papers around and avoiding. So maybe it works to have someone do that invoicing for you so that you can focus on your genius work and be making more money. I do want to tell our callers, if they are listeners, if they want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-893-9562. And I'm talking to Jo Abbey, and she is a freelance writer focused mostly on lifestyle and which includes everything from beauty to adventure to travel to fashion and living and it with design and you've done a little bit of everything with restaurants and movie critics and bridezillas and all of those things and reporting. I think what's really interesting for entrepreneurs is to take note of what their skills are and what makes them successful. And as a writer, there's really probably quite a bit of research to do. And a little bit of investigation.
Yes. You know,
probably have to verify in your facts and can't just write anything. I'm thinking about the reporter show movies I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, check it all twice and all that kind of thing. Is that, what would you say, what skills that you have, what traits that you have that have really lended themselves to you being successful?
It's a very annoying trait to have some of my friends call me the question machine. I'm like a child, you know, that little boys who say, but why, Mum? But why is the sky blue? And why did you do this? And why is that man doing that? And why do dogs have four legs? And I'm just one of those people who asks a ton of questions. And I realize it's kind of annoying to my friends sometimes, my poor loved ones. But I think that curious nature is what draws people to writing and journalism, even if it's not serious reporting. Like I don't write about politics or world events or anything very important, but I think it's that curious nature and that what the need to know or the desire to know what's going on, maybe.
And then being able to take all of that information and put it together in such a way that, like we talked earlier, that does allow people to dream or be inspired or move to action. So if you write about a place that you've been, the way you describe that place can actually get someone to get up and make a reservation and actually go, right?
Yeah, I would hope so. That would make me really happy if I wrote about a place I'd been that I loved and inspired someone else to go, you know, travel anywhere, let alone that specific place,
or use that makeup, or buy that furniture, or get involved with that designer, or whatever the case may be about what you're writing.
Yes.
So that's really, really great. Now, and obviously, and you have a bit of self-discipline, and a lot. But you do have the self-discipline to sit down and meet deadlines and stay focused at times, you know, and then to even, and you're wearing all the hats, you're doing everything. You're finding your clients.
Yeah.
You're the chief bookkeeper and the salesperson and the secretary.
Yeah.
And the,
I should pay myself more.
That's right. you know, you do it all. Does it sometimes get frustrating? I mean, I know you said you didn't really like invoicing. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I like being able to pay my bills, so I need to get, but it's the thing I procrastinate the most, which is ridiculous because that's how I earn a living. But I just hate doing it. So obviously hate's the wrong word. It's not
my
skill set.
I hate it.
I try not to hate, but
Strong dislike, right?
I have a strong dislike for numbers. I always have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was that hard when you started freelancing? You obviously had some guidelines, I assume, as to how to go about charging people. Was that hard to try and figure out, well, what is my time worth? And
yeah, that's incredibly difficult. I mean, with freelance writing for magazines, that's easy because you get assigned a number of words by an editor, and then you have a word rate that they pay you, and that's easy. So invoicing for that sort of thing was easy for me. But yeah, figuring out like an hourly rate or a rate per blog post or what have you, that's incredibly difficult. Yeah.
Especially for an individual. So tell our audience some of the things that you do, such as not only do you write blogs or you write articles, and we know from what you said that you've been a ghostwriter and you've done some copywriting.
Yes.
But like if someone has a website, if I came to you and I have a website and I obviously there's words on it. What are some of the things that you could do for me?
I think you mean just if you have existing copy or if you're launching a new website?
Well, or either? Both.
Okay.
I'm trying to let our listeners know exactly what you do and the things that, like, why they would hire, how they could hire a freelance writer.
Oh, okay. I think a lot of people are, and I know this is incredibly difficult because I had to do it again recently. I had to write a bio about myself, and it's really hard to write about yourself. It's easier to write about something you're passionate about, whether it's if you're launching a small business, or I've got a friend who just became a Pilates instructor, so I was helping her, you know, write some copy about what she's doing. And she's gave me so much information because she's really passionate about that. But when it came to writing a little 200-word bio or 80-word bio about herself, she was, oh, God, no, I can't do that, you know. So I can help people package their business in a way that maybe they might not have thought of. Writing your bios about yourself, no one's very good at that. I'm not even, like, it's hard for me even to do it about myself. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, and I think a lot of people tell me I write the way I speak, like it's very easy to read, it flows very naturally, and I think that's important.
I agree with that.
on websites. So many websites are sort of overwritten or underwritten, or they sort of, people think too hard about it. You have to sort of get people's attention very quickly with websites too. So it is quite different to magazine writing, but I'm quite versatile, so I like doing different things. So I actually love web writing now. I didn't at first because it was quite different to what I was used to with, you know, I used to write 1,500 word magazine articles all the time, and that's a lot of words on the internet.
What does that look like? I can't even know what 1,500 words look like.
Say if you're reading
would it be like a page and a half, or
be like in a magazine with photographs? It would be like 4 pages,
wow,
probably, yeah, okay. Or 2, depending on the photo spread. You know, say if you buy American Vogue, mm-hmm, and Michelle Obama's on the cover, and there's an interview and a photo spread with her. Mm-hmm. That even today, that interview was probably 1,500 words. So it's quite a lot. Yeah. You know, when you're looking at a website, like a homepage, you wouldn't see more than 500 words.
Oh, I
you
see.
You shouldn't anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you get stressed out with your job?
I do. I mean, I do get a bit stressed out, yeah.
So do you unwind?
I do take a lot of walks. what else do I do? I Skype or call or meet up with friends. I find that social, just that helps me relax, just talking with other people and getting out of my head. What else do I do? I try and go to yoga if I'm really stressed out. That does help me a lot. I'm trying to get back into meditation, but that's difficult. I used to meditate every day, and I've fallen out of that habit, and I think it's really balancing and grounding, so I'm going to try and get back into that. But
What do you find to be the most difficult thing besides invoicing about being an entrepreneur?
When I'm when I'm owed money, but then all my bills come at once and I haven't got the checks yet, that's pretty stressful. So, and that's happened more times than I'd care to admit, but I think I need to be better about having a safety net or a bubble of, you know, protection when that does happen. Because you can't always guarantee, it's not like having a paycheck every second Friday, like, you know, when you have a job and you get paid every 2 weeks, most people. So, yeah, the cash flow thing is an issue that tends to crop up with me more often than it should. Yeah, so.
And that's something that I'm sure that a lot of independent entrepreneurs that work in a similar manner as you have to really take into consideration. Yeah. What's the best thing about being an entrepreneur?
The best thing, I mean, I love the freedom. I love not having a commute. I love that if I wanted to, if I wanted to go on a trip, I can go on a trip. I don't have to ask permission 2 weeks in advance or a month in advance. Oh, can I have...
And you can do your job from anywhere.
I can do my job from anywhere. I could do it from an island. I could do it from a cabin in the snow. I could, yeah. I don't very often, but yeah, I mean, I haven't been on a big trip lately. I haven't been home to Australia in about a year and a half, but I can do that and yeah.
Well, I mean, in praise of technology, mm. I mean, it really has changed our world in terms of how we're able to operate.
Absolutely, yeah.
I actually, at one time 100 years ago, I was involved in real estate. And I remember being very frustrated that, and I could really age myself on that, you know, where you really had to be 100% present, like in that spot. You couldn't even move from one room to the other.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you could go lay out by the pool while you're waiting for clients to call or whatever. So it's really changed the way we're able to be entrepreneurs too and help to make that easier. Like I said, that you can do whatever you do from all over the world. It doesn't even matter as long as you can get internet. And
yeah.
To the best of my knowledge, there's a few places where you can't. It really does open up a whole new realm of possibilities for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
Who inspires you?
Oh, that's a good question. People who do what they love really inspire me. Like people who you can just tell that they're really good at what they do, but they love it. They're not just doing it for a paycheck, I think. And I've had stints where I've had no choice but to take a job I didn't really want to take. And then those people are everywhere. You notice them all the time. So... yeah, they always stand out to me, people who are just really passionate about whether it's, you know, they started a blog about how they quit sugar and now it's a best-selling book and a multi-million dollar business. Like, people like that, I just blow me away because they didn't set out to make millions of dollars or be famous. They just did what they loved and it obviously that tends to resonate with people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people like that really inspire me. I forget her name, but I think it's Sarah Wilson who did the I Quit Sugar thing. And she's an international success now. And she's just, you know, I mean, I guess it's a diet in a way, which I'm not really into diets, but it's a very sort of supportive community, it seems. I think she's based in Sydney. I think she's an Aussie. But who else specifically? There's a few bloggers that I just adore. And they're my go-to blogs when I'm feeling a bit, yeah, uninspired. That always helps me. Who else? But yeah, anyone who's just doing what they love and sort of finding a way to make it work for their life, I think that's... because that's challenging, but it's way more rewarding, I think, than just working at a soulless job and getting a big paycheck.
I couldn't agree with you more. Or does that even sound right? I could not agree with you. I do. I totally agree with you. 150%. Do you think about, because this is a conversation that a lot of entrepreneurs have, and there's different levels of success and knowing what you want. So some people want to grow their company to be a really huge company and have So they have things on their bucket list of, I'm going to have 50 employees. I'm going to have, you know, this whole network of people that are writing for me. I'm going to create all these programs. There's others who want to just continue to find interesting work. I mean, I'm thinking about from you.
Yeah.
You know, just to continue to find interesting work. You said you have a novel that's been on the back burner for 5 years. What are your dreams for your future, even though you don't admittedly really totally plan? And in a business like this, a business plan would kind of be ridiculous, I would think.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we do have dreams and we have goals and we have aspirations for different things. What are yours?
I would like to be successful enough at my writing for other people that I do have the time to take to write my own, write the novel, do the screenplay, all of that stuff. That I don't know a single writer who doesn't think one day they want, you know, to write a best-selling novel or write a screenplay or something. So yeah, in the next 5 years, I would love to do that. Absolutely.
And what would be the subject, kind of? What would be the genre?
I'm not even sure. I've got a few novels that I've, or
ideas. Mystery, drama.
Kind of just, I don't know. I mean, I like literary fiction that's just sort of about, you know, everyday people and doing unusual things. I'm not sure. I love things that are set slightly in the future, but I don't do science fiction. That's not, I mean, I love it, but I'm not, I can't write it. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
So you're still quite young. So a novel, anything else?
Probably a screenplay. I've only lived in LA 3 years, but everyone seems to be doing it. So that's kind of on my list. What else? And really, I'm next month, it's been next month for a while now, but next month I'm planning to launch my own blog because I haven't had one for years and I've been too busy writing other people's blogs or ghost blogging or... So I'm really excited to do that and that's just really something I want to write for me to get, you know, just share things I really enjoy, whether it's a cafe in LA or a, you know, a designer I like or a new product or something. So it'll be a bit of everything, which is, because that's kind of what I've always done is written. I know a very little bit about a lot of things. I'm not like the go-to person on one topic, you know,
yeah.
Like some people are a specialist and they write about geology or the weather or, I don't know, animals. I'm not that person, but I do know quite a bit about a lot of different things that are, you know, lifestyle.
Yeah.
Everyone's interested in, so, yeah.
Well, I like what you're bringing up about that, too, because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we get so caught up in doing, we start a business. Like, so you think about a chef, right?
Yes.
They really love to cook. They start a business, so they're really involved in that. And then you find that they may rarely cook.
Yeah.
Because they're so involved in their business. And as a writer, you're so involved in writing for other people that sometimes it's hard to find time to do what you really love for yourself. So I think that's really a valid point that you're bringing up. And understanding and maybe even creating for anybody who might be listening and thinking about, oh, well, I really love, because so often, and especially as women, we go into a business based on something that we're really passionate about or there may have been a pain point about it. So so creating a business out of something that we love, whether it's gardening, whether it's it's cooking, whether it's writing or any number of things, fashion or any of that. You know, a lot of times that's what drives us to start that business, but then we rarely find the time to do something for ourselves. Like, no, I would never design my own dress because I'm too busy designing for others, that kind of thing.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Important when you're thinking about launching that business and doing something that you really love to be able to carve out, set aside, make time for you to still be able to do what you love, you know? So, I'm glad that we had the opportunity to mention that and talk about that. Were there ever, you mentioned, your parents sometimes said, you know, that maybe you should go out and get a real job.
Yeah, pretty much.
with a salary. But were there other naysayers that ever made you think, maybe I can't do this the way I want to do this?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be naysayers, though.
And how did you handle that? Was it just so distasteful to go get get another job again? Or was it that you just had tremendous belief in the fact that I can make this happen? I know other people make it happen. I can make it happen.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of both. I did take a job when I first moved to LA, and I was a bit clueless about how far it was and how bad traffic would be. But the commute was just, I did it for a year and a half and it was...
Quickly I learned.
So I think it was honestly my not wanting to have a commute that took an hour each way every day that made me just think, no, I should be able to do that job from home and charge this much per hour and make better money than I was making working for someone else. And there's so much I don't miss about working in-house, like the office politics and the dress codes and the the time, you know.
Yeah.
You can't, yeah.
So if anybody's just wondering whether they should become an entrepreneur or not, you know, just think about all those awful things that you have to deal with working for someone else and the freedom that it allows you to launch and do something that you're passionate about, that you really care about.
Yeah.
Do you have... We have a few minutes left here, and there's a couple of things that there's 100 other things that I could keep talking to you about. But one, I would love to know what your proudest moment is, if you can share that. And then hopefully also want to have time to talk about what your best business advice or business lesson would be.
Oh, okay.
So I'd like to end the show with that. But so what's your proudest moment?
Proudest moment? That's a really good question. I think it sounds really superficial and silly, but the first time I got published in Vogue Australia, that was quite proud, because I remember telling an English teacher in high school, he said, what do you want to do when you grow up, sort of thing. It was eighth grade. And I said that I was going to be the editor of Vogue. And he said, oh, okay, how are you going to do that? And I'm like, I don't know. And obviously I'm not the editor and I wouldn't want to be, I realize now. But yeah, so that was quite proud, but seeing... You know, and I could tell my mum, go and buy a copy of this month's Vogue. And I think she still has it somewhere.
So I don't think that's silly at all. I think, you know, if anybody doesn't admit that, they're not really totally telling the truth.
Yeah.
Because there's definitely, and it doesn't have anything to do with ego. It has to do with, you know, really, you should be proud. You've worked hard. You've earned it. And otherwise, if you're not doing it and you can't take pride in what it is that you do, then what are you doing it for? So
yeah.
I think we all have that secret little, oh my gosh, look, you know, I made it. It's kind of like an I made it moment, you know?
Yeah, so. And it was kind of a silly article too, the first thing I did for them. It was about designer dogs and the anthropomorphization of animals and dogs in particular. And it was a really cute story, but yeah.
Someday you'll have to share that with me.
Yeah, I still have it somewhere.
So... Best business advice? What do you wish somebody had told you? What's your most valuable business lesson that you'd like to share?
I think just from, because it sort of goes with what we've been talking about today, is I think get to know yourself as early as you can in your career, because it took me a while to figure out that I work better on my own or for myself than working for other people if I don't. And it's not that I'm a brat and I don't like being told what to do. I think that's a small part of it. But I think I know what I'm good at. I know myself quite well. So I think I realized I'm quite well suited to being freelance and doing kind of being independent. But some people don't like it. Some people would much prefer to go to an office and be told what to do and get paid every second Friday. And that's fine as long as you know that. But, and I had a couple of times to do that and I realized, I was never happy doing that. So I'm much happier as an independent person. So, yeah, I think getting to know yourself and your work ethic or your work, you know, personality, for want of a better word, is a really valuable thing.
And drawing from your strengths and your skills and
absolutely
is all very important. Like I said, knowing that you would prefer to work alone and that you can motivate yourself and stay disciplined to getting the work done and meeting those deadlines and and having having that integrity and all of that kind of thing. So
yeah,
and that you can make it happen. So well, the world's a better place for you, Joe.
So
I really appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing your journey and how you got started and some of the things that have kind of helped to move you along and just letting us get to know you better and look forward to seeing more things, seeing your name on the cover of a book, Joe Abbey.
Yes.
And also enjoy reading the things that you've written. Now, do you have a website?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, so how could people find you?
I'm pretty active on Facebook. People can find me on Facebook. I'm not as active on Twitter, but I'm sort of quite a social media person. So
Joe, J-O, Abby, A-B-B-I-E.
Yes, that's me.
And just check her out on Facebook, and if you want to get in touch with her, that would be great. Yeah. So anyway, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen.
This has been fun. I got the-